name. Amen. Before the preaching of the gospel, we sing together from Psalm 22. Psalm 22, singing the verses from 6 to 10. From verse 6, "But as for me, a worm I am, and as no man am prized. Reproach of men I am, and by the people am despised." To verse 10, "And I was cast upon thy care, e'en from the womb till now, and from my mother's belly, Lord, my God and guide art thou." Psalm 22, the verses 6 to 10.
"But as for me, a worm I am, but as for me, a worm I am, and as no man am prized, reproach of men I am, and by the people am despised.
Turning together this evening in the New Testament to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 43. Luke 23, 43, where we have the second of Jesus' seven sayings from the cross. Speaking to the man we know familiarly as the dying thief, he speaks these words: "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a scene even the youngest can picture. A hill outside Jerusalem. And on that hillside are three crosses. On the central cross is Jesus, and on either side are crucified two malefactors, two criminals, two thieves. To begin with, both these criminals are against Jesus. But after a while, one of them turns to Jesus. And he prays in the words of the verse immediately before our text, verse 42, "Lord, remember me." We read, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He prays, "Lord, remember me." And it is in response to that petition that Jesus utters the words of our text. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Our theme for a few minutes tonight is salvation at the cross. Salvation at the cross. We want to learn something about salvation from each of these three crosses upon the side of Calvary's hill. As it has been said, upon those three crosses, one died for sin, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for the sins of all who would trust in him. One died to sin, namely the one we call the penitent thief, who repented of his sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And one died in sin, namely the impenitent thief, the one who refused to repent and to believe upon Christ for salvation. One died for sin, one died to sin, and one died in sin. But for our purposes this evening, we want to think about these three crosses like this. First of all, salvation purchased at the cross. That's the Lord Jesus. Secondly, salvation experienced at the cross. That's the penitent thief. And thirdly, salvation unappreciated at the cross. That's the impenitent thief. First of all, with the Lord's help, salvation purchased at the cross. Thinking about the central of those three crosses and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, who was crucified upon that central cross. He speaks to this dying thief in our text of paradise. He says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." By this term paradise, he speaks of the heaven from which he had come and of the heaven to which he would return. And yet, here he is, not in heaven, but at Calvary. And here at Calvary, he is as far from that heavenly paradise as he could be. And he has come to this place, and he is nailed to this cross to purchase our salvation. Just think a little about the verses that we read earlier that lead up to our text. We see Jesus allowing himself to be led all the way back in verse 26. We didn't read that far back, but back in verse 26 we read, "They led him away." And then again in verse 32, the first verse that we read, we read there that there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had every right to lead others, allowed others to lead him. And so we notice that his death was a voluntary. He did not have to die, but he chose to die in our place and for our sin. Jesus allowing himself to be led, his death was voluntary. But notice too, Jesus allowing himself to be crucified. The next verse, verse 33, tells us that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors. There they crucified him Jesus allowed himself to be led, yes, but he also allowed himself to be crucified, reminding us that his death was real. There was nothing false or phony about the death of our Saviour. It was a literal crucifixion. A real thorns were made into a crown and impressed upon his real human brow. Real nails were taken and were hammered through his real hands and through his real feet. Crucifixion was the chosen method of execution by the Romans because it was widely regarded as the most painful way to go. His death was real. The agony of death by crucifixion as he was nailed to that central cross. Jesus allowed himself to be led and he allowed himself to be crucified. And notice Jesus allowing himself to be mocked. This is emphasized repeatedly. We're told, beginning of verse 35, that the people stood beholding. That's translated in many ways. I've not seen it translated in any English Bible version this way, but it carries with it the sense of gawping. The people stood gawping at the Lord Jesus. In addition to that, the rest of verse 35 tells us that the rulers also with them derided him. They held him in derision. And in addition to that, verse 36 tells us that the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. The people stood beholding. The rulers who were with them derided him. The soldiers also mocked him. Reminding us that his death was lonely. His death was lonely as he hung there upon that central cross, the only one who could bear away our sin. We see in these verses Jesus allowing himself to be led and allowing himself to be crucified and allowing himself to be mocked. And we see also Jesus allowing himself to experience hell. The verse immediately after our text, we didn't read this far, but verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, in other words, midday, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, in other words, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In other words, when the sun should have been at its brightest, and when the day should have been at its lightest, there was darkness, thick darkness, when it was midnight at midday. And when in that blackness of darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered hell upon the cross. His death was voluntary, his death was real, his death was lonely. And his death was hell. Some would say his death was hellish. I don't think that goes far enough. There was nothing ish about it. His death was hell as he suffered all the wrath of God against our sin in his own body upon the tree. Jesus allowed himself to be led. He allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed himself to be mocked. He allowed himself to experience hell. The one who belonged to heaven experienced hell and did so to save sinners. There could be no better news than that. The one who belonged to heaven experienced hell and did so to save sinners. We see in the Lord Jesus, upon that central cross, salvation purchased at the cross. But come on with me to notice, secondly, salvation experienced at the cross. For not only was salvation purchased there at Calvary by the Lord Jesus, but on that very day it was experienced there at Calvary by our friend, the penitent thief. The one to whom Jesus speaks these words of our text, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The man prays, "Lord, remember me." He's sorry for his sin. He's seeking salvation. And the Lord grants to him this wonderful assurance of pardon. Thinking about this dying thief recently, my mind went back to a story which I think I first heard probably on a Lord's Day afternoon as a young boy at home, when we had a family tradition that at some point in the afternoon, my father would gather us all around and he would read something to us by way of Christian biography, the story of one or another from past days who had loved the Lord Jesus and done great things in his name. And one of the books we read, still in print from the Banner of Truth, was written by a Scottish pastor, John Tallock, called "They Shall Be Mine." And it's a number of mini biographies of lesser known characters, but a precious little book. And in that book, there's the story of a Highland landowner known as the Laird of Sawdale. And this man was a notorious man in many ways, but on the very last day of his life, he was converted and became a real Christian. And a minister had the privilege of being with him for a number of hours that day, from before he was converted and then as he was converted and then until he died. And the story goes that the minister went home to his wife and he said to his wife, he said, "I've seen a remarkable thing today. I've seen a man who began the day in the kingdom of sin. In the middle of the day, he was in the kingdom of grace. And before the day was out, he was in the kingdom of glory." And there aren't many of whom that can be said. But the Laird of Sawdale was one, and our penitent thief was another. He began the day in the kingdom of sin, as lost could be. But by the middle of the day, he was in the kingdom of grace, trusting in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and as his Lord. And before the day was through, he was in the kingdom of glory. That day, with Christ in paradise. Well, let's think a little bit more about this penitent thief. Notice the guilt he carried. Luke tells us here in verse 39 that one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Jesus. And that's true. Mark gives to us an additional detail which Luke doesn't. Namely, Mark chapter 15 and verse 32, they that were crucified with him, in other words, both who were crucified with him, reviled him. So to begin with, both of these criminals are against the Lord Jesus. Yes, the one is to be wonderfully changed in those final hours of his life as he hangs upon a cross on the side of the hill called a Calvary. But the guilt this man carried. He was guilty under the law. He was a malefactor. He was a criminal. He was a thief. He was guilty of whatever precisely he was guilty of, but enough in those days to warrant the sentence of death by crucifixion. And not only was he a criminal under the law, but under the gospel, he was guilty of the greatest crime of all, and namely the crime of unbelief. The guilt he carried. And we may or may not have done the kind of things this man had done. We may or may not be guilty of the kind of headline sins for which he was responsible. But we all carry the same guilt. We're all criminals under the law, having done what the Lord has commanded us not to do and failed to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. And we are all criminals under the gospel, having failed to believe upon Christ, whom to know is life eternal. The guilt he carried, but then the change he experienced. A wonderful change comes upon this man by the power of the Holy Spirit. In short, he sees the truth about himself and he sees the truth about Jesus. Look at verses 40 and 41. But the other, our friend here, answering him, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He sees the truth about himself. He says to his criminal friend, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." This man knew and felt himself to be a sinner as he had never done before. But not only was he given to see the truth about himself, but he was also given to see the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said of him, end of verse 41, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." He came to understand that this Lord Jesus was dying not for his own sins, but for the sins of others, even for his sin, that he might be saved. So there's the guilt he carried and the change he experienced, which led to the prayer he uttered. These wonderful words in verse 42, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Lord, he says, acknowledging Jesus' lordship, that he is none other than the Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. "Remember me," he cries, expressing his personal need, that he needs from the Lord Jesus that which he cannot earn or deserve, that he should be gracious to him and have a mercy upon him. And he speaks of Christ's kingdom. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," understanding something of the gospel, that Christ is a king and that every knee must bow to him. This simple prayer, "Lord, remember me," is nothing more and nothing less than a prayer for salvation. "Lord, remember me." And just as we see the guilt he carried and the change he experienced and the prayer he uttered, so we have in our text the answer he received. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Verily or assuredly, the Lord Jesus speaks to him of that which is sure and of that which is certain. "I say unto thee," just as the man had come with his personal petition, "Lord, remember me." And so the Lord Jesus gives to him this personal assurance of pardon. "I say unto thee." And what does he say? "Today, with me, in paradise." That very day, as that man was to depart this scene of time and enter into eternity, he is assured that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all shall be well with his soul, and he shall go not to hell but to heaven, and be with Christ forever and forever. We see here in this penitent thief, salvation experienced at the cross. One who deserved only hell, because of Christ's death on the cross, received certain assurance of glory. And as it was for this man all those years ago, as it was for the Laird of Sawdale up there in the Highlands of Scotland many years ago now, so it has been for all sorts of people in all sorts of places throughout the decades, the centuries, and the millennia. Those who deserved only hell, because of Christ's death upon the cross, have received certain assurance of glory. And what was true for him and what has been true for them can be true for you when you recognize the guilt you carry and the change you need to experience, and you utter the prayer that this man prayed, and you receive the answer that he received. "Lord, remember me," and you are assured of pardon. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." One who deserved only hell, because of Christ's death on the cross, received certain assurance of glory. Salvation experienced at the cross. So we're thinking about salvation at the cross. Number one, salvation purchased at the cross, the Lord Jesus. Number two, salvation experienced at the cross, the penitent thief. But we have a third cross to think about. Number three, salvation unappreciated at the cross, the impenitent thief, the one who didn't repent, the one who refused to believe. Striking that this impenitent thief, he was there at the beginning of our reading, verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. He's there in the middle of our reading, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But he's not there at the end of our reading, verses 42 and 43, as the man prays, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He's now left behind, not in the sense that he's literally not there, he's still hanging upon that third cross, but the narrative has left him behind. The narrative has moved on. This man is no longer of significance. The gospel has passed him by as he has passed the gospel by. And this impenitent thief, he dies a blasphemer. He dies within arm's reach of Jesus. And yet he dies as far as could be from salvation. What a thought. This man, he dies a blasphemer, blaspheming the very Son of God. He dies within arm's reach of Jesus. If it wasn't for the fact that his hands were nailed to a cross, he could have reached out and touched him. But he dies as far as could be from salvation. He is so near and yet so far. He represents salvation unappreciated at the cross. Let me just say in passing that that's possible for believers. If you're a Christian here tonight, it's possible, so possible, for us to fail to appreciate the wonderful salvation which is ours at the cross. Our Saviour has loved us and he has given us himself for us, and in our better moments that moves us deep within our souls, but so often we are unmoved and we are unappreciative. But if Christ has so loved us and if he has given himself for us at Calvary, how we should love him, how we should praise him, how we should serve him, and how we should perish the thought that we would ever fail to appreciate him and his so great salvation purchased for us at the cross. But maybe you're here tonight and you're an unbeliever. You're not yet a Christian. And commonly among unbelievers, among those who are as yet unsaved, Christ and his salvation are unappreciated. To think that one has come from heaven, to think that one has gone to Calvary, to think that one has experienced hell upon the cross, and yet you would fail to appreciate the salvation he so freely offers to you. To quote some words from the Old Testament, I saw them on the gable end of the chapel when I arrived this morning. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" To think that one has come from heaven, to think that one has gone to Calvary, to think that one has experienced hell to purchase salvation for sinners, that he freely offers forgiveness and pardon, and yet you would pass by as if it were nothing to you. You may feel you have little in common with this impenitent thief. He lived long ago and far away. He was guilty of crimes which you think you have never committed. He was being executed, something you hope will never happen to you. And yet this man, you may have far more in common with him than you realize. This man who died within arm's reach of Jesus and yet died as far as could be from salvation. What about you, my friend, tonight? Perhaps you're a child of believing parents. Your dad, your mum, they know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know about what he did at Calvary. But it's never really affected you deep within. You're left unmoved. You've yet to appreciate what the Lord Jesus did for you upon the cross. And if you were to be called from this scene of time, you would be exactly like this poor impenitent thief. You would die within arm's reach of Jesus, and yet you would die as far as could be from salvation. You would die perhaps already in your young life, having lost count of how many gospel sermons you have heard. You would die having already lost count of how many times you have heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his free salvation. You would die having already lost count of how many times your pastor and other preachers have told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, what a wonderful Savior he is, how much you need him, and how he is here for the taking. You would die within arm's reach of Jesus, and yet you would die as far as could be from salvation. May the tragedy that is this man upon this third cross not be repeated in your life, my dear friend. There is salvation at the cross, purchased by the Lord Jesus, experienced by the penitent thief and thousands, millions of others down the ages, but sadly, so unappreciated by others. But there is salvation at the cross. Salvation for today. The Lord Jesus said to this man, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And if there is salvation for today, then there is salvation for all our tomorrows. And the one who would save you today is the one who will keep you tomorrow and bless you all the way home to glory. And if there is salvation for today and for all our tomorrows, there is salvation for eternity. This salvation is not simply a shot in the arm to get us through this life, but it closes the gates of hell to us. It opens the gates of heaven to us, and it lands us safe upon that golden shore. Oh, my friend, that you might appreciate this salvation as you have never appreciated it before. That you would not be unmoved and unaffected. That you would not hasten towards that day when you would die within arm's reach of Jesus, and yet die as far as could be from salvation. But that you might, like the one to whom the Lord first addressed these words of our text, pray, "Lord, remember me." As another prayed in the Gospels, "Lord, help me." As another prayed in the Gospels, "Lord, save me." Use these words. Use your own words. Use any words. But seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek him until you find him, the one who purchased salvation at the cross, that you might experience salvation at the cross. Oh, perish the thought that you would fail to appreciate so great salvation. But think upon this salvation purchased for you by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And oh, that you might experience this salvation even tonight. Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. That's the prayer that gets an answer. It's the prayer here in our passage. Oh, may it be the prayer of your heart this night, and that you might know the assurance of pardon, and that you might know the salvation which can be found, and which can only be found at the cross. Amen. We're going to close this evening by singing.